Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us in this moment and lift us up through Jesus to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was in middle school, I traded Pogs. Pogs. Pogs were the 90s version of marbles, in case you don't remember them. They were these little flat milk caps, cardboard discs with various designs emblazoned on them. There was a competitive game you could play with them, stacking them together and trying to flip so many over, and whatever you flipped over, you got to keep. But often we would just trade Pogs. We traded them at hockey practice. We traded them over dinner. We traded Pogs. And the haggling was intense. I'll give you my Wayne Gretzky Pog for your Spider-Man Pog. Ha! Yeah, your Pogs, no. Five of your Pogs for the Spider-Man Pog. I mean, come on. How about I give you Gretzky plus the Pog that says, give peas a chance, and then the Pog that has the green lizard on it? We haggled like our lives depended on it. How much do I really love my Gretzky Pog? Do I want to give up the give peas a chance Pog? Spider-Man worth five. I don't know. The key was that you could always pull this off. You could always make a deal if you could just find the right combination of milk caps to trade with your neighbor. And in our Old Testament reading this morning, the people of Israel and Judah imagine that God is like a middle schooler haggling over Pogs. They want God to let them keep their sins. And they imagine that if they offer him just the right combination of Pogs, he'll let them do it. God will make a deal. Yahweh, the God of Israel, has saved his people again and again. The prophet Micah writes, "For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage. And I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam." Oh, my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. Time and again, God has loved and saved Israel. And all that he has asked in return is that they love him and love one another, that they put aside their sins and pour out all of who they are to God and to the people around them. But love is hard, boring work. Instead, the people of Israel and Judah choose their sins. The prophet Micah spends five chapters chronicling the people's favorite transgressions. They love building forbidden altars up on high green hills to Yahweh and other gods. Forbidden altars. Something about doing what you're not supposed to be doing that makes it a little more delicious. Forbidden altars where they can kind of do their own kind of worship, whatever they want. Baal worship is especially exciting. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, baby! And then there's that lying awake at night, scheming about how they can add a few more acres to the family farm. Never mind if the few more acres belong to a poor widow sharecropper down the road. Yeah, I deserve it. And of course, the people love the prophets who pat them on the back. Wow, God doesn't really care how you love him or your neighbor, just as long as you feel good about yourself. Then the people love their sins, and so they begin to haggle with God. Lord, let me just keep my idols, okay? Let me keep my greed, my bribes, Let me keep my hocus pocus and my soothsayers. Tell you what. How about my Gretzky Pog? How about that? Or the Give Peas a Chance Pog? How about I give you a few more fatted calves on your altar? I've got 5 yearlings. You're going to love them. No? What about a few more gallons of olive oil dumped on the altar? Purest virgin olive oil. No? My firstborn? Micah shakes his head throughout all of this. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Not much has changed in 27 years. Like the people of Israel and Judah, we imagine that God is like a middle schooler haggling over pogs. If we can just get the right combination to him, he'll be willing to make a deal. Let me keep my favorite idols, God. Let me keep that delicious hatred for those liberals or those conservatives. Let me keep my pot stirring at work. It amuses me. Let me keep my envy of my college roommate who, you know, he just bought the house on the lake and... Lord, what about I give you my Gretzky Pog? How about that? Or the Give Peas a Chance Pog? How about I throw an extra 100 in the collection plate? Yeah, not bad. What about, you'll like this. I'll teach Sunday school, okay? How about that? How about a few more prayers? Whatever you want, Lord, you just let me keep my favorite sin, okay? Whatever you want. We haggle. We bargain. What are you haggling with God about? What am I haggling with God about? We all haggle. St. Augustine relates in his Confessions in a somewhat open manner that the rest of us are probably not willing to go that far with. He relates his own haggling with God. For 12 years, St. Augustine sought true wisdom. But St. Augustine's favorite sin was sexual promiscuity. He was known for his lust. He was known for his adultery, chasing after the married women. He was known for his fornication, taking advantage of all the slave girls. He didn't want to give it all up. Lord, he prayed, Lord, give me chastity and continence. But not today, not today. Tell you what, how about a pog? I got a good Gretzky pog for you. How about I join the Manichaeans? You ever heard of the Manichaeans? Oh, mystical sect, amazing, strange rituals. I'll spend all my time there. You're gonna love it, God. You are going to love it. But of course, God does not bargain with Israelites, Romans, or with us Americans. As St. Paul puts it in our epistle reading this morning after listing all of our favorite sins, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The triune God doesn't bargain, but he shows us instead what he does require. He shows us a humble man walking the road, patient with the impetuous crowds and clueless students. He shows us a gentle soul eating fish and bread with the IRS tax men and the hookers. He shows us a faithful man, controlling his desires as the devil slithers close. He shows us a loving soul who chooses his heavenly Father's will over his own will. God shows us the one who inherits the kingdom. He has showed you, O man, what is good, sings the prophet Micah. Or we could maybe say, he shows you who is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, or it could be translated faithfulness, covenant faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God? Or in St. Paul's way of putting it, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And this morning, as we pull out our pogs and we begin to haggle, we find that we are haggling with just this one, this man who inherits the kingdom, the one who does justice, loves mercy, and walks humbly with his God, the one who lives in the Holy Spirit. And this God-man does not bargain or haggle. He simply loves by denying himself and walking in self-sacrifice. Here, Jesus, 5 pogs for you. I'll even give you the Spider-Man one that I got off of my friend, okay? Here you go. Just let me keep my sin. But Jesus shakes a scarred forehead. And he points to a lonely hill with a dark cross. I don't want your pogs. I want all of you. Not part of you. All of you. Feel the surge of the Spirit and come and follow me into freedom. Christ doesn't bargain. He shows us what he wants. The German martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer, before he was executed by the Nazis in World War II, once said, "When Christ bids a man to come and follow him, he bids him to come and die, to crucify the flesh and the passions, and to live in love, in freedom." Sisters and brothers, God doesn't haggle like a middle schooler. And that is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.